This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's hour number two rolling along this morning. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Also get into some not quite SEC football news, but it will be by the time it comes to fruition, probably. We'll talk about that coming up next. We got NBA free agency on the table, though. A big day for the league. We've got going to have some player movement. We're going to have a little bit of trade fund. We're going to have a little bit of free agent signings. We're going to have guys opting in. It's going to be news, and it's going to come at you in waves starting at 6 o'clock Eastern tonight. It is going to go into the night. Tomorrow, we should have somewhat sorted out from the nighttime, getting ready into more stuff coming in and through the weekend. But this is, if you're an NBA fan, it's one of the holidays. It's probably one of the, outside of the actual games, it's one of the most important moments. You know, we know how big the NFL draft is, and NFL free agency is a big deal. I would say that the NBA free agency is bigger than its draft day. And its draft day is a big deal. But this, and how you can have your fortunes change, and it comes in a couple of ways. It comes with getting solid players, but it also comes with you being able to maneuver money and whatnot to free up some capital or tie yourself in the capital, whatever it is. But there's a lot of fortunes that are going to change tonight. Some teams are going to make the playoffs for the first time in a while. Some teams are going to have to sacrifice making the playoffs for the first time in a while. Players that you think are on board may not be. So there's a lot of stuff to sort of process as we get closer and closer to what we have tonight. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. All right, the PGA Tour is going to run the John Deere Classic today. That's at the TPC Deer Run in Illinois. And then the LIV Golf Tour, as we've been talking about all week, is going to tee off today at Pumpkin Ridge in Portland, Oregon. I was telling you about the protests that people in Portland are organizing. It's not just against the club using the LIV Tour and the Saudi Arabian money, but also families of 9/11 victims are planning to protest there. And as I said, when they go to Bedminster, New Jersey, that's going to be on the forefront as well. I feel like right now, and I think this might die down after a while because these things tend to do, I think that there's going to be protests at every stop along the way, at least in its first year. But like anything else, it runs its course. People then just go, all right, we made our point, and then they stop doing it. The protests for Michael Vick died down. I think the protests for this will do it as well. But nevertheless, everyone that's involved in LIV Golf is going to get asked this everywhere they go, including when they go to New Jersey.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Ah, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. We're celebrating the birthday of Superman, but it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. So what's the good of the day?
A tweet.
Tweet.
Simple enough. A man in Manitou, Canada. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but Manitou, Canada. Right. He shot footage of a tornado. Now, first of all, it's weird because it looks like clear blue skies, except there's a tornado.
Okay.
That popped down. I mean, not a big one, but I don't know. It's just a weird weather phenomenon. Anyways, you know when you post certain things like that, news agencies all of a sudden are like, hey, this is so-and-so from this place. Can I use your footage?
Yeah.
Right? So he took a photo of this news of this tornado. Caitlin Wright, who is a meteorologist in Charlotte, North Carolina, asked, may we use your video online with full credit to you and, stay safe. This man's response was awesome. He goes, yep, no problem. Just say you can't stand Duke and the Tar Heels and we are good to go.
Oh, how great.
And apparently she said it.
Oh, because it was that good of a video?
It's bizarre because, we know what tornadoes look like.
Yeah.
And
they're terrifying.
It literally is, it's like a tornado coming just from one single cloud because there's blue sky, sunshine all around it.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre looking.
It's very weird. It is really, really bizarre.
But just the fact
the damage is on the walls. If you're inside it, you're safe.
Right.
Like if you're in the middle, you're okay. The walls is where the wind walls will get you.
But it's just weird because, usually, there's clouds everywhere. I mean, this looks like a bright, sunny day. I wouldn't know it was a tornado. looking at this video.
Wow. Tornadoes are just...
Yeah.
They just... And I live in an area that gets a bunch of them. And not necessarily my town, but just...
Oh, you've had a couple of good ones the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've had Nashville's got one. We had one not that far. Murfreesboro got one. So it they're pretty devastating, man. They scare me. The one in Tuscaloosa was bad a number of years ago. I want to say about 10 years ago. There was one in Tuscaloosa that was horrible. And I remember hearing the stories of the survivors and what they went through. And I went, I don't know how you make it. It sounded like a train, and then the house was being ripped apart, and just terrifying. But yeah, so the video must have been that good.
The video must have been that good, but for me,
she hated Duke and North Carolina.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm a Wake Forest fan. I like NC State.
Right.
Yeah, good for him.
I just thought it was brilliant for him to respond that way.
Good.
Like, that was just fun.
That was good. At least he didn't have any Twister quotes.
No. I see cows.
Cows. Yeah. I will give you this video if you say, "We have cows." If you say that, I'll give you the video. That might have been my response.
It's another cow.
Another cow.
No, Twister. I think that's the same one.
Twister's so good. So funny. It's such a great movie. It really is. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that hundreds of people have been getting ill.
With
unrelenting, sorry to say this so early in the morning, unrelenting diarrhea at the Grand Canyon.
What's happening?
They believe that there's a strain of norovirus going on. And it's really affecting the people who are, backpacking, camping, or river rafting down the Grand Canyon. Not people, I guess.
It's coming from the water, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at the visitor center, you're up on top of the rim, you're fine. But if you're down below and experiencing what the Grand Canyon truly has to offer to you, so far 150 people have said it hasn't been the greatest trip of their lives.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine having, if you're camping.
That's got to be awful.
That's got to be the worst.
It's got to be awful. Awful.
I don't know what you do.
You
pack up the tent and leave, right? I mean.
Exactly.
If you're river rafting. And all of a sudden, you become violently ill with, the good old number three.
Right.
As I remember as a kid. I mean, we've all been there. That's like the worst nightmare possible.
And like you said, if you're on a raft,
yeah.
And your body's like, whatever this is, it's gone.
It's coming out.
And we've now taken over all the functions. We've now taken the controls. So you sit back and relax. Because we're taking over. There's nothing you can do. You're on a raft.
Get the sweats.
Oh, awful.
And you're not enjoying it.
I don't even want to think about it. It's awful. Poor people.
Can you imagine the amount of money you spent to go river rafting down the Grand Canyon? And you had this grand idea, like, I'm going to be heading down this river. I'm going to be looking up, and you're just going to see these cliffs and birds flying. And the entire time, you're just hunched over in a raft going, make this stop, please.
So bad. So bad. That's too bad, man. That is too bad. But I hope everybody gets well. But
hopefully they figure out what's going on.
Neurovirus.
Yeah, that's serious business.
Yeah. What's that compared to virus? Is it just
neurovirus?
Does that mean it's worse?
I think it's just the strain of virus, coronavirus.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So it's not like another level of virus?
No, it's not another level of virus, but it is.
You might want a virus, but a neurovirus, forget it.
Yeah, you don't want this one.
You don't want that one. Yeah.
No, I think it's just the neurovirus, I think it attacks the stomach.
Gotcha. Okay.
And makes you, you lose weight.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Silver lining.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
And I do this often, and I am on the fence on this one, and this could be something fun to see.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure. So they're thinking of adding a Ninja Warrior course to the 2028 Olympics.
Whoo!
Yeah. Like, on the one hand, you think about it like, well, okay, it sounds interesting. But at the same time, it's like, okay, that's what makes it a TV show.
Yeah.
Is it really a sport?
Yeah, that's a funny thing. I get so... this is when I started noticing how much I was getting older, is that the Olympics would go, hey, we've added this. And I'm like, yuck.
Yeah.
And yet the younger generation goes, absolutely. dump my dad's Olympics. That's stupid. Let's get some skateboarding in here. Let's get some of this sport in here. Let's get some of that. Let's get, you know, and all of a sudden you go
golf.
Yeah, like golf. Like I like golf, but I thought Olympic golf was ridiculous. It ended up being okay, but whenever they add these new sports to try to stay, especially in the Winter Olympics, it makes me go, ugh. But then again, there's another generation that comes up and goes, all right, you want to attract me, a very lucrative 18 to 35 audience?
Exactly, yes.
Get this on the Olympics. If you want old man over here to watch, okay, keep your biathlon. And you go, all right,
The idea behind it is that it'll be the fifth discipline of the modern pentathlon.
Oh, okay.
Because the pentathlon right now consists of five disciplines: fencing, swimming, equestrian show jumping, laser pistol shooting, and running.
Oh, okay. Man, which seems I gotta be honest with you, I don't think I would have gotten any of those if you asked me what was in the pentathlon.
You probably would have guessed running.
Yeah.
Maybe swimming, because I guess it's just to show discipline in all five. So what they're thinking about doing is like adding the Ninja Warrior course and replace equestrian show jumping.
Can you do me a favor real quick? Can you
learn how to say equestrian?
No. Can you Google the 10 events of the decathlon?
Yeah.
Do it real quick and let me know when you got it, because I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to see if I can name them, because I think I know the 10 events of the decathlon. But I don't know anything about the, whatever you just said, pentathlon?
It's the modern pentathlon.
Modern pentathlon. I would have never gotten fencing.
I guess it's just a fancy way of saying, hey, can you do everything?
So when you got it, let me know, because I'm gonna take a shot at this. This is a real live at the last second moment of me trying to figure out if I've got the 10 events of the decathlon.
I'm just waiting on my computer. Olympic. All right, go for it.
You got them? All right. The 100-meter dash. And I won't do it in order, so I'm just going to bounce around a little bit. 100-meter dash, pole vault, shot put, javelin, 110-meter hurdles, long jump, 1,500-meter relay.
Not a relay.
Not relay, 1,500-meter run.
Yep.
High jump. Oh, I said shot put, right?
There's two more.
I said shot put?
Yes, you did.
I said javelin?
Yep.
There's two more.
Two more.
Two more. I didn't think I'd get
this. If you want a hint,
yeah,
let me know. It's one of them's a running event, another running event.
400-meter run.
There it is.
400-meter run.
And there's another throwing event.
All right. Shot put, javelin. Not hammer throw, is it?
No, not hammer.
Not hammer. Not caber toss.
Is that big log?
Yeah, that's that big log. Another throwing.
I'm impressed though. You mean 9 out of 10 is really good?
Yeah, another throwing thing.
I don't think I would have gotten 9
out of
10.
I don't think I'm going to get this one. Go ahead.
Once I say it, you're going to be upset though. Yeah, discus.
Oh, discus. Yeah. Oh my God.
But no, that's impressive. I'm sorry, you know what? Still pat yourself on the back for that one. That one was good.
Thank you, Atari 2600 and Activision.
There it is.
Because they had a video game. They had a decathlon video game. And by the way, for those of you who are of my generation, you might have played it. The joystick, you had to go rapidly back and forth on the joystick in order, like with running. It was like track and field. You remember track and field, the video game?
Yes.
Where you did the buttons? And then they had the ball, but if you went to the old school ones, they had the buttons where you had to rapidly press the buttons. And then at one moment you stop, you pause for a quick second and press the throw button. Same thing here. You would move the joystick violently back and forth as fast as you can. That would move the meter. That's how fast it would run. And then whatever you wanted to do, jump, hurdle, throw, you had to press the button. But it ruined a lot of Atari joysticks, that video game. But yeah, but I wanted to see if I could do it because, again, I was disappointed that the pentathlon, outside of running, I don't think I got one of those.
Yeah, you know? It's a weird event. I don't know how it's where it's true athleticism. Like decathlon, right. You know, growing up and seeing that, I mean, that is like, that's all the disciplines.
That's the best athlete in the world.
You know, and heptathlon. Let's give it up for the women, too. I mean,
that's right.
They just do seven of them. I don't know which ones they don't do. Maybe they don't do... Yeah, I really don't know. Yeah. I'm looking at all these disciplines. I'm like, why wouldn't they do
why
some
wouldn't
of these?
They do any of them? Sure.
But pentathlon, the modern pentathlon, it just doesn't seem like right. It almost seems like a glorified Iron Man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
You're right. Shooting. And yeah. So now, you know, in 2028, we might have these athletes doing a Ninja Warrior course.
Ninja Warrior course. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, Superman's birthday today on a throwback Thursday, so you're going to hear hero-worthy songs throughout the show today. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're talking superheroes today as it's Superman's birthday, the greatest superhero of them all. On this date, 1938, appeared on Action Comics. This is from Batman.
Yeah, Prince.
Prince, Batman. That was from the 89 movie.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. Nicholson, man.
I mean,
made all that money.
And just so you guys know, he's saying funk.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just clearing it with the FCC right now. You guys should know that.
We were just having a conversation because we were talking about the decathlon and the Olympics and the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we were talking about Dan and Dave.
Dan and Dave.
The 92 Olympics in Barcelona where Reebok was like, hey, you two. Hey, we're going to do this promotional campaign where we're going to be, both of you are going to be in a series of ads where you're going to fight it out in Barcelona for the greatest decathlete of all time. Oh, that'd be great, huh? And then there was a funny thing happened on the way to Barcelona. Dan O'Brien didn't make it.
He didn't make it.
The Olympic team. They had the Olympic trials in New Orleans. It was a sure bet. It was a sure bet. They were one of the two best decathletes in the world. It was a sure thing. But they went through the process, and he missed the pole vault. And that was it. So they had to redo the whole advertising campaign. But they became super famous
just on that.
Super famous. But as you were telling me, all right, so the one guy that went,
Dave Johnson, he went to Barcelona, and he got the bronze.
He got the bronze. So don't feel bad for Dan O'Brien, though, because 4 years later, he won the gold medal at the Olympic Games in Atlanta.
All part of his plan.
That's right. That's right.
But, God, like, I just remember seeing them all the time, and I remember when you got the news that Dan didn't make it, you're like, oh, what?
What?
I thought these were the two best in the world.
They were being hyped up. Reebok was pumping them up as the two best in the world. They were going to duke it out for gold in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And then I remember watching that video. He was like, he had to clear this height on the pole vault in order to get in, and he didn't even come close. He succumbed to the pressure, and just that was it. And he couldn't
do it. But he didn't have to. If memory serves me correct, he didn't have to do it at that height, right?
Right. Something along those lines. I'd like to get a little bit more detail on that because I think it was. Yeah, I think he made a mistake in the calculations and all of that. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like he didn't have to get to go.
Like he had cleared the other disciplines very easily, and then he was like, "Oh, you know, I'm going to skip this one that he would have qualified for if he had made it." Made that jump, but he's like, ah, throw it up higher.
And I think the broadcasting team, I think it might have been NBC or ABC that was doing it. They like hired him as a commentator, and I was like, that's not what we were talking about. Like, he wasn't supposed to be on the air talking about decathlon. He was supposed to actually be participating in it. Barcelona. The Olympic Games. Only thing I really remember is the dream team from Barcelona. That's about it.
Yeah.
Dream team.
You know what the other thing I do remember was the opening ceremony of that guy shooting an arrow.
Oh, that's right. Shot the arrow to light the
yeah.
light.
Other than that, I mean, I know Carl Lewis had a good run.
Yeah. Yeah.
There. Did his normal thing.
Does it feel like, and again, I know that we had a bad Olympics in Tokyo because of COVID and it didn't seem right. And then the winter games in China, that in my mind, and this is no offense to any athlete, that to me almost didn't even happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And that's no offense. I don't want to insult any of the athletes that went and traveled all the way over there and got all their shots.
No, but you want to know what's crazy? Wasn't it this year?
It was this year.
That's right. I mean, we're not that removed from it.
I don't even remember. I don't know who won. I don't know who lost. I don't remember any stories.
No, there's one image that I can't get out of my head. And that'll be probably the lasting image for the Winter Olympics this year was that ski jump.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's right. That was by the industrial plant.
Yeah, by like a nuclear power plant
right,
or something.
Exactly.
And there was
yeah.
no snow anywhere.
Right. Like Homer Simpson running the controls, yeah. and then they had the ski jump right next to it. Yeah, no doubt.
That's the lasting image that I have, that and you know, now I'm thinking about it. The other one was that they couldn't ski ever.
Right.
It was too cold.
Too cold.
Ah, we're pushing it off another day.
It's so funny. I again, and I'm not one of those people. I'm not pining for the good old days. Don't get me wrong here, but the Olympics used to be such a major, major deal.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing. Everybody was involved in it. And don't get me wrong. It wasn't that long ago. We were all cheering for Michael Phelps and all
right.
that kind of thing. We were watching the Olympics in Brazil, and maybe COVID, because it came at a time where the Olympics were like in limbo and we had to cancel games and move games and all of that. And that's probably why recent memory is sort of blurred it. But I remember like the 84 games when they were in Los Angeles. And I remember like that summer between whatever grade I was going into, watching it all the time. I was watching the Olympics all the time. Like I remember Mary Decker and Zola Budd colliding, and Mary Decker was in the infield bawling her eyes out because she had this collision with Zola Budd. And that was it. Everything that she trained for this race, and she was favored to win gold, was gone. And she was in the infield and her coaches had to go console her. She was finished. It was over. And they just kept running, and she just was crying. And those are the memories. Carl Lewis winning everything. I remember Seoul. I remember the Canadian runner, the Canadian sprinter, Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated because he had the fastest time, and then busted for performance-enhancing drugs. And
like
the
a month
biggest
later
scandal,
or something.
A month later. Remember Greg Louganis hit his head on
yep.
the diving board? How horrifying was that? Hitting your head on the diving board, falling into a pool.
Blood in the water.
Blood in the water? I mean, goodness. But these were real memories that were burned because of the Olympic Games. And maybe as I'm getting older, these don't have as much value as they did when I was younger and I was taking in a lot of this kind of stuff. But I feel like a lot of that stuff is lost because I don't know how important these things are now to the American sports public.
Or is it just being like washed out because we're adding so much? It's like,
maybe
oh, we got to
so
add this
much,
sport.
Yeah.
We got to add that sport. We got to do this. We got to do that. And let's face it. I mean, for us, you know, maybe we're a little pretentious on this, but when you have the games going on in Asia or Australia, you know, I mean, they're great. They're beautiful, but we know what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of takes the fun out of it.
But it's just, to me, it's like, why, like, for example, I don't know why my brain remembers that in 1988, right, Katarina Witt and Debbie Thomas were competing in the long form figure skating, and they called it the Battle of the Carmens, but it was Elizabeth Manley, Canada's own, that got the silver medal and was in between. I remember that. I can't tell you who won the last three figure skating world championships, like the Olympic Games.
Right,
I have no idea why I remember 88 when I didn't care about figure skating. Like I was a teenager. I couldn't have cared less.
Yeah.
But somehow it was the way
no,
it was presented.
You.
Like this is a big deal. This is really important. And I went, oh, and now I still remember it all these years later. But I don't remember who just won last 2-3 months, 5 months ago.
No, I'm 100% with you because I couldn't tell you who's won. I mean, maybe Nathan Chen.
Yeah.
That's the only name I remember.
Maybe.
But what I remember more from figure skating is how much I absolutely love every 4 years Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Oh, they're the best.
They're the best duo.
They're the best.
They're like John Madden past Summerall, man.
They're the best. But real quick, and we're doing Superman's birthday today, but this was the day Tanya Harding was banned
yes.
for the scandal.
Yes, oh, I remember that, everything about that.
Let me tell you this. If you go onto the list, if you find a list of the most watched television programs of all time, you will see Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. You'll have the final episode of MASH. But in that list of the top programs is that figure skating battle between Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan in Lillehammer in Norway. For that Olympics, when she went over there, and the tension between those two as Nancy Kerrigan was coming back after getting hit in the knee. It's one of the most watched events in sports.
Wow. This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You're going to throw me off another tangent. You know that. That's probably the danger of this show today. This was one of my favorite movies of all time. And it, not because Ted did it. I loved this movie. A little background here, okay? So when my brother and I were kids.
Go ahead. Who's the superhero?
Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Sam Jones.
Yeah, because, you know, we might have some listeners who don't know who this
Flash Gordon. Max von Sydow, I never knew his last name. He played Ming the Merciless. And Timothy Dalton was in this movie as well. It's great. So now, when I was a kid, before we had a VCR, we had a Laserdisc player. So you get a Laserdisc, and the disc had, it was basically a large DVD. But you slid in the case. The player would take the case, and then you'd watch half the movie, and then when the movie, it would go blank, and then you have to turn it over.
Yep.
And that's how that works. But there were movies at home back in like the late 70s, early 80s. So we had one, and there was like this great deal where my father could rent a movie on, let's say, a Thursday, and he didn't have to return it till Monday morning. So every Thursday, he would come and with movies for my brother and I and even my little sister. And sometimes it was cartoons for my sister. Sometimes it was cool movies for me and my brother, whatever it was. But he would rent movies for us to watch for that weekend. And he brought home Flash Gordon. I thought we broke it. We watched it a million times. I could not stop watching Flash Gordon. I so much so that a number of years ago, I bought it on Blu-ray. And my brother was coming to visit, and I said, "I got this on Blu-ray. We watched it. I love it. I loved Flash Gordon. And even now and then, even nowadays, I'll throw it in just to have something on, and it's such a treat. It's colorful. The music's great. When they talk about a cult classic, it really is a cult classic. It really is. It's so good.
It's goofy.
It's goofy.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, amazing.
Amazing.
Hawkman,
dive! I love it. Love it. It was kind of scary, too, because Ming was, like, so evil, you know?
Yes.
It was so evil. Melody Anderson was the actress that played Dale Arden. She was really cute. But he was bad. Like, he was sending Earth meteors and tornadoes.
And I know you mentioned it early on. I thought Ted did an extreme justice.
Really did. Really, really did. And I was very glad that Seth MacFarlane threw that in there because he's like me. He's of the same age.
Yeah.
And, like, found it when he was a kid in some way, shape, or form and just grew to love it. Grew to absolutely love it.
My favorite scene is when he's all coked up and taken off for his girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
And that little Pinto has the same, like, I don't know, what do you call it? Like, jet trails.
Right, right.
He wouldn't flash, like,
fan is great. Such a good. We're doing superheroes today because it's Superman's birthday in 1938. And that's our throwback Thursday. You're going to get me on a bunch of tangents on this show. I'm throwing the outline away right now. I'm just like crimpling it up because every time you play some superhero movie or song, I'm going to talk about that this morning. I am going crazy. I had this whole plan to break down free agency in the NBA.
Nah, you got to talk Flash Gordon.
I'm talking Flash Gordon, man. Oh, goodness gracious. Real quick, though, I did want to get into. I don't know. It's early in Houston, but you just got in early this morning for the show, coming in early. But there's got to be a little worry. Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena collided yesterday in the game against the Mets.
Yeah.
Both of those guys, fantastic seasons. I know one of them, I think it was Alvarez, got taken off on a cart.
Well, that's okay. The scary part because Alvarez, I mean – If you really look at it, he is the all-star of that team right now.
He's been great.
He is.
Absolutely
he's the team
great.
Leader pretty much in every statistical category for him. There's a little bit of nerves. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
sure.
You're hoping that maybe it's just overabundance of caution.
Pena's the bright young star of the Astros. He's having a great year. But God, Lee is Justin Verlander. What is going on with him?
Fountain of Youth.
What is this?
Fountain of Youth.
That's Fountain of Youth is right.
I don't know. I mean, coming off of Tommy John.
Oh, 10-3, untouchable. Absolutely untouchable. That was a good game yesterday afternoon. It was scoreless going into the top of the ninth. And then Jason Castro had a two-run home run for Houston, and they swept the Mets in a two-game series, and now the Astros get the Yankees at home tonight. Well, that series was fun when they played it last week.
I know. can't believe they're doing it again already.
I know.
This is, you know, and again, I said this earlier in the week. This is the problem with MLB. You got to spread these things out.
You can't bunch up Houston, New York, for crying out loud, in late June.
I mean, or maybe was it planned because you're like, well, okay, NBA is going to be over.
Maybe
so. There's no NFL going on right now, so this is a time for us to shine and everyone can talk about us. I don't know.
Yeah, but Verlander, 8 innings, no runs, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's magnificent. He's 10-3. I'm not a huge pitcher wins MVP thing, but you could make a strong case he could win MVP too. Well, Aaron Judge, though, is just tearing it up. But nevertheless,
he's going to take the American League.
He's probably going to take the American League. But Justin Verlander is a walking right.
Especially if Aaron Judge gets to that magic number where, you know, it's late August, mid-August, late August, and we all start looking at the calendar going, you know, 60 is possible.
He's got 29 home runs right now.
Yeah, I don't know about 70. Yesterday. Was it 73?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but
I'm sorry. I know there's some of you out there that will challenge me on the science. I honestly think that a non-steroid baseball player, I don't think will ever hit 70 home runs, ever.
I
don't think it's humanly possible without performance-enhancing drugs. I'm sorry. I know some of you will disagree and say advancements in training. I just think the season is too long. I think the pitching is too good. I think the variety of pitchers you see these days, you don't see a guy 4 times anymore. That's not what's happening. 3 or 4 times anymore. And I honestly think that's never going to happen. So I know baseball would never recognize it ever, but I am looking forward for my own personal journey to 61, right?
Yeah.
62. That's my journey. That's what I want to see. I know we'll never get, maybe it will. Maybe there'll be enough reporters and broadcast entities that will say, screw it. We don't care if you don't recognize it. This is the chase we've been wanting our whole lives. What we saw in 1998 was so tainted. It's beyond silly. It's almost ridiculous. But this is the one we're looking for. Guys that are being tested, guys that are coming back clean, guys that are doing this, and maybe that's it. That's what we get with Aaron Judge. We'll see. Summertime has a tendency to slow these things down completely. But he's got 29 now, and they haven't reached 80 games yet. So, you know, if you wanted to do the mental math in your head of what he's on track for. But you're 100% right about Verlander. This Tommy John surgery at his age, and he has just been magnificent right this year. Absolutely fantastic.
You know, I'm going to stick with another baseball story, too, because I am fascinated. We talked earlier in the week about Freddie Freeman.
Right.
And this whole story that came out yesterday.
Oh, this story is getting a lot more run than I thought it was going to get.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it was just like, oh, he's homesick.
Yeah.
You know, that was it. But him not knowing at all.
That to me is insane.
Which, I can't remember who broke the story. I know it was a major baseball writer. Said that's normal. I'm like, I don't know if it's normal anymore.
No. Okay. Let me try to make an analogy here on the fly. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but let me just try. Let's say there are 3 houses that you and your wife are looking to buy, okay? And you're going to make an offer on these 3 houses. But you tell your real estate agent, you know what? You make the deal for us. You pick the house that makes the best deal. Me and my wife are going to disappear. We're going to go to Cancun. You let us know what house we have. But we really want A, right? And you come back and you get B. Wouldn't you go, you know, maybe I should have made it more clear that I really wanted A.
Why would you
not tell your agent, whatever you do, do not walk away from anything that Atlanta presents without calling me?
Yes. See, I got to put that on Freddie a little bit.
Yeah.
Like whatever they come back with, even if it's like a 2-year, $50 million deal or whatever, let me know.
Let me know everything Atlanta is saying and what your strategy is with Atlanta. Do not mess it. Like, between you and me, and do not tip our hand, I want to re-sign with the Braves. And why wasn't it done?
Yeah.
Like you're right. There's part of me that, you know, hey, Freddie's going to fire you, but in the end, that's on him too. That's on him too.
I mean, for him not to find out until this past weekend that, you know, the Braves actually offered him a deal. He didn't even know that they had offered him. Did he think that they just completely snubbed him? That's what I was curious about was, you know, you've been with the organization for 12 years. You really thought that they were like, Freddie who? No, we're just going to sign Matt Olson. Good luck, Freddie.
Such a, it is so weird, too, because the Braves went, is that the deadline? Yeah, okay, great, we got Matt Olson. You're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why wasn't everybody, again, I don't want to tip your hand in negotiations, so I get that. But why wasn't everybody on some level of the same page of, he really wants to be here, we really want him, we're haggling over numbers, yes, he could leave, but let's sit down and really hash this out. Now, maybe the Braves said, look, the Matt Olson thing was dangling like a carrot above us, and it was going to get taken away. Like, they were going to shop Matt Olson somewhere else, and we didn't want to be left without a solid first baseman bat. So we're going to go get Matt Olson the second we feel like this is breaking down. And then his agency made it look like or appear like it was breaking down. But I agree. I think, to me, I think Freddie Freeman right now, I love that. I love, by the way, that this story for us happened in the good, the bad, and the dumb, because it has morphed into a major, major baseball story. It went from, hey, Clayton Kershaw just wants to know if Freddie Freeman's heart is in it, to everybody's fired and Freddie Freeman is really angry.
And really homesick.
Really homesick. He's not just, oh man, it stinks, I can't play here anymore. He's scorched earth, ticked off.
For me, you know, the Dodger fan that I am, is like, I like Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, of course.
But what does this mean going forward? Are the Dodgers sitting there, you know, are conversations going on right now? Or is like, hey, man, anything you can do to get me back to the Braves?
Yeah.
Anything you can do.
Anything you can do. Make a phone call, make two phone calls, make three phone calls. Whatever it takes.
I'm at the point where I'm borderline sitting out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fear of this, like, now. It's like, okay, does he have his heart with this team? I know he's going to play well. You know, he's an athlete. He's going to play. He's going to fight to play. But at the same time, it's like, okay, how much of your heart is actually in this?
I agree. I agree completely. And look, I think a lot of us can relate. I think a lot of us have had jobs where we wanted to be somewhere else, but we didn't get the, we either didn't get the gig that we thought, or we didn't get promoted, or whatever it is. However you want to compare something that went on in your career to what Freddie Freeman is going through, meaning maybe you took a job and you thought the grass was greener and it wasn't, or maybe you did what Freddie Freeman did. You negotiated in good faith and it didn't work out and you end up going to the next company. Or maybe you thought you're hours were going to be different, or your responsibilities were going to be, like, imagine if you thought you were going to be the lead on a project and then you weren't a lead on a project. And they said, no, but do this for the project. And you went in every day going, I hate this. This is not what I thought. I spent so long thinking I was going to be the lead guy. And now I'm just doing this small segment of the project. I guess my heart's into it, but we're all human. Freddie Freeman. Yeah, you're right. He's going to show up. He's going to try to hit the baseball every time he goes to the plate. But every day it feels like every day that he's not a Brave, he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I think it really, really opened his eyes to what exactly took place. As soon as he got to Atlanta and you start buzzing with the people and everybody, you meet the organization, everybody's chatting, everybody's talking, and you start hearing more information. I'm sure he was livid.
I want to know how that conversation came
about,
by the way.
Without question.
Like, I'm assuming he was out to dinner with people, and then, you know, like, Freddie, how come you didn't take that deal? What do you mean deal?
What deal? Yeah, what deal? Goodness.
You hear, like, everyone in the restaurant just stopped. You know, just, everyone's eavesdropping now, like, oh, I got to hear this story.
What a story. Like, what a just a...
Yeah, really, it totally has morphed into something big, much bigger than we thought earlier in the week.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, it's Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Happy birthday, Superman. At least he knew how to fly. He didn't need a manual.
Yeah. I know we just played this one last week, but it was like, it's a hero.
Exactly. This is a throwback Thursday. Happy birthday, Superman. I'm having such a fun show today with these hero things. So good. So good. So we were talking about the baseball yesterday and the Yankees and the Astros starting a 4-game series tonight. And you're right. I was kind of going through it. And I think they're playing too tight, too much together, these two.
Yeah.
These two teams. But, you know, Justin Verlander, back to him real quick. This is a very good Mets team. I know. I don't know how many people have, like, some of you out there dive into baseball late July, early August. We go, all right, start telling me who's good. The Mets are really good. The Mets have a really solid team, really well put together.
Yeah, it's not the Mets team that you and I came to love.
And he mowed them down. The Mets had two hits in the game. Two hits in the game. Verlander gave up both of those over eight innings. Just two hits at home. He struck out six, and he goes to 10-3. He's been great. Shane McClanahan is doing well in Tampa, but Justin Verlander is really the story of pitching this season. He's been, and it's weird because, again, he's coming off Tommy John surgery. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be surprised by Verlander doing well. I think it's because Tommy John surgery, and now, you know, that surgery isn't like what it used to. You really can feel a next level of youthfulness in your arm when you do it, but still what he's doing this year has been absolutely remarkable. All right, coming up, more in NFL on NBA free agency tonight, and we'll get into the controversy and the protests that are going to be in Portland, Oregon today for the LIV Golf event at Pumpkin Ridge. All of that coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sportsmap Radio.